radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Just published a video on YouTube from the Killer Bees yesterday discussing if D'Amico Ryans or Ime Udoka is the better coach. Do you have thoughts on this, Paul?
Well, what do you think first?
I would lean Ime Udoka because as much as I love D'Amico, the defense did not take the step that I was hoping it would this year. It was good, but I was what we saw from the offense and C.J. Stroud is kind of what I was more expecting from the defense and the offense to slowly come along. Not that it wasn't good, but it didn't take the elite step I'd hoped. And as much as I love coaches in the NFL, and I love D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud, I would still lean, is more of a reason for their success as the quarterback of this team than D'Amico or Ime Udoka. We've seen this team with these players be a disaster for 2 years. And he's made them a 500 basketball team and has them in playoff contention and seems to be coaching out all the terrible habits that they have from Steven Silas. So it's nothing against D'Amico, but I think it's Ime Udoka. It's probably not close.
I think Udoka making the finals
also helps.
It's almost over from the start.
Yes.
And also to what you were saying a moment ago, for NFL coaches, it really is more about the quarterback, right? I mean, Andy Reid finally gets a quarterback. He wins 3 Super Bowls. Bill Belichick wins 6. He's got Tom Brady. I would say that the latter 3 were mostly Tom Brady, while the first 3 were mostly Bill Belichick's defensive scheming, but also just a team that never screwed up and made mistakes. I think, though, to what you were saying about D'Amico Ryans, expecting the big leap from the defense year one, expecting really anything from them year one.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the talent to make that jump.
That's true.
The quarterback's going to bring the level of talent up on the offensive side of things. So I'm not going to hold that against D'Amico Ryans as much, but I'm with you. I do think this is a rather easy answer because Udoka, what he did with Boston is a part of what he has done. And now what you're seeing where, much like in that finals run with Boston, it feels like the Rockets are catching their stride at the absolute best time of the year. You want your team to get better as the season improves, even if March basketball is kind of difficult to determine what matters and what doesn't matter. He's doing it again. And I think the biggest thing for Udoka is he's coming in after one coach could not get the most out of players that some consider to be, as far as talent goes, some of the best young talent in the league.
Yeah, and it's no disrespect to D'Amico. That's what's a great thing about this conversation is that D'Amico Ryans was deserving of being coach of the year. He didn't win it, but he had a great year. But Ime has done so much this year that you have to give him credit for it. And kind of philosophically, I just would always say an NBA coach can do more because it's really, it also feels more like a one-man band because yes, he has assistant coaches, but do we know any of them? Like besides when they talk to Vanessa.
Royal Ivy, I think, is one of them.
I think he knows. I don't know. You might be right. You might be way wrong. That coach might not be a real person. That might
he's
be
definitely a real person.
That might be a fake name.
I don't know.
Point guard
Joe
for Texas, so he's a real person.
Oh, so that's why he knows it. It's not because he's a Rockets coach. It's because he played for Texas.
Royal Ivy is that's the kind of bougie name that some broad on one of those HBO shows would be named. Sounds like a Sex in the City extra. Gossip Girl season 4.
Or OnlyFans.
You know a lot about that life.
I don't want anyone to know about that account.
So let's get to some Astros stuff. We were talking about the lineup earlier. With Peña and Diaz, do you, if those two guys take the next step, is that how that take we've talked about before with John and Lance, that they have the best lineup in baseball, really comes to fruition? Or is there another path? Because for me, without Peña and Diaz really emerging as really talented players, I think the Astros still fall short of teams like the Braves. And maybe that's it. Like the Braves, the Dodgers, and that category. Just without those two guys, I struggle to see them having that best lineup in baseball.
So you're saying, you're asking me if I think like those two players,
are they the key to it?
They're definitely part of the key. I think more than that, though, it's like, can they stay healthy the whole year? Because, I mean, if you have Altuve and Alvarez, I don't know. I feel like, and that might be an if with Alvarez, and maybe it is with Altuve getting towards his mid-30s. But those two, I don't know if I can expect anything out of them, really. Pena and who's the other name?
Diaz,
yeah. Like, Diaz, we've seen him do it, but it's a whole game season. It's a whole season that we're talking about now with him. And with Pena, I really don't know. I feel like he should be better than he was last year. If those two are hitting, yeah, I would imagine they would be the best lineup in baseball. But do I know whether or not they're going to hit? No, I really don't at this point.
Yeah, no, we'll find out. You never know, because there's always adjustments in spring training. That's probably the spring training thing that I never know what to really make out of it. You know, like Jeremy Pena starts spring training this year, and he's got this, you know, this new swing where he's launching the ball a little bit better. It means nothing to me, because half the time the pitcher you're facing is not really giving you real stuff. They're working on things, so it's hard to tell from spring training what's going to translate or not. Because if it translates, then Jake Meyers is the starting center fielder, and the Astros are awesome. But we don't know if that's going to be the case. But you put this in here about the this article the Chronicle put out about the Astros smoking fastballs, and the reason why I mentioned Pena and Diaz is because the biggest flaw of those two guys is the stuff that they chase. And if they just stop chasing the sliders and really sliders and curveballs outside the zone, then it really will help them go so far this year. Because I loved reading the story about how the Astros just mash fastballs on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Chaz McCormick was third in the majors in run value created against four seamers, which sounds like a made up stat, but Yordan's 16th, Altuve's 21st. And they played in 114 and 90 games, respectively. Tucker was second. Alex Bregman was 34th. And you would imagine that will go up with him in a contract year. So, yeah, they hit fastballs. And I would hope that everybody could take a thing or two from Alex Bregman, especially the Chazes and Jeremy Peñas and Yainer Diaz, who really felt like they were chasing in key spots when in the ALCS against the Rangers.
Is Chaz that guy to you that it was last year?
I don't know.
Because you asked about, talk about JP France, and you've always seemed kind of less confident in JP France.
Correct.
But I don't, my belief would be that Chaz is close to the player he was last year. I don't think we see a major drop off.
Well, yeah, I think he carried over what he did in the World Series into last year. That's one of the reasons that I get weirded out with this, like moving Dubon exclusively to that super utility role when he played well in the postseason last year. And now all of a sudden we're saying, okay, well, Jake Meyers, a guy who wasn't even active for that series, they're going to give him a chance over Dubon. I get that Dubon's got the versatility, but it's one of those things where I'm expecting Dubon to do what he did for the most of last year this coming season.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should operate that way until it's no longer the case, and then you make a change.
Yeah, I've always, the way that they talk about Dubon, I wonder if we'll be okay with the amount of playing time he has. It's just not going to be consistently at one position. Like, they've talked a lot about rest and making sure that these guys are healthy throughout the entire year. I do wonder if we're going to see Dubon really be like a, you know, playing 5 out of 6 games a week and playing potentially 5 different positions and just being all over the place this entire season, which I'm for, but also like you, I wouldn't be opposed if they just at some point made him the everyday center fielder and had Chaz playing left. I'd be very happy with that. And Yordan Alvarez only be a DH.
More often than not be a DH, at least.
I can't wait till opening day lineup comes out and to see Jeremy Branham's tweet when Yordan started in left field.
What's wrong with Joe Espada's lineup now?
Yeah, he's going to tweet what's wrong with Joe's lineup, and good luck with the responses to that, Jeremy, because I know what the Twitchers will say.
What are they going to say?
Well, they're going to blame me for the lineup is what's going to happen.
Why are they going to blame you?
Because it's what's wrong with Joe's lineup.
Oh.
I'm gonna catch strays pretty consistently. That's Jeremy's theory, actually, that I'll catch strays.
He should just say what's wrong with Dusty's lineup.
That's what I said, too.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Dusty's lineup? Because Dusty's still in charge. He's just not here.
Especially because it'll drive the people that Jeremy has driven crazy even crazier. And I'm here for that.
Yeah. That,
I'm here to get random texts about yelling at me about Jeremy, something he's tweeted. I'm like, I'm not his dad. He's older than me. He is a father.
That's true. He is. And you are not his dad.
No.
Did you have something there, Sean?
What?
I thought you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, if I'm Jeremy, I'm also kind of looking for an exit ramp on having to tweet that every single day.
True.
Because it seems exhausting to be like, especially because he's normally on the air when they tweet out the lineup.
He's addicted to X.
Yeah.
He's addicted to
it.
That
is true.
And also, I feel like he might be smart enough to figure out some like algorithm thing to auto-tweet it.
Well, he would just need to like set alerts for the Astros. But the problem is, yeah, you would get so many tweets throughout the day.
Yeah, they send so many tweets. All right. Paul says I have to make a choice. I don't think I have to make a choice, but Paul says I have to make a choice. And Kyle McNair is unhappy about something. We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You sign up, you get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 right away for you to play with. NCAA tournament, the real round number 3. Number 4, right around the corner. And I mean, come on, people. We're looking at that game between our beloved Cougs, the Houston Cougars, 4-point favorites over the Duke Blue Devils. And you're thinking to yourself, they don't respect us. They don't respect the Cougs. They don't respect Shaka. They don't respect, the Shasta. I don't know why I started thinking about Shaka Smart there, right there, for a moment. They don't respect you. Paul doesn't respect you. Maybe you make that argument. But the Cougs are 4-point favorites, and they're going to win by 400,000. You know it. I know it. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975, is where you can go to bet on our beloved Cougs. The over-under for that game, 134. We just saw the UH Aggies game hit a pretty high number against Duke. Isn't it going to do the exact same thing? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 to bet on that game and many more as we are in the Sweet 16 of March Madness. It's MyBookie.ag. Again, promo code BET975 for an awesome deposit bonus. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
So, Paul, you said I have to make a choice.
Yeah.
Do I really have to make a choice? I have to choose sides.
I think you just may as well. Just get it over with.
But you're not choosing between the Patriots and the Texans. Yes. Why do I have to make a decision?
Because you don't root for the Patriots. You root for a godforsaken, awful franchise. And you don't live in Chicago anymore.
Why can't I have both?
Why would you want both?
Well, usually they both are good defense, no quarterback. Both usually have a really good defensive player.
Tell me about the last Sunday the Bears made you happy.
The last Sunday the Bears made me happy. Well, it was probably until Cody Parkey double-doinked it. Probably.
So that Sunday was happy up to that point.
Up until that point when I thought they were going to win that game and then go to the Super Bowl.
January 2018.
Yeah, when did the Eagles win the Super Bowl?
The 17-18 season.
Yeah, so that would have been 2018.
So that was 6 years ago.
Yeah, that was the last time they probably made me happy.
This is the problem. So the Texans are playing the Bears Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
To open up the preseason. And obviously preseason games are dumb.
Yes.
Maybe you want to gamble on this to actually make it entertaining. It's not like you're going to be seriously rooting for either team here unless Caleb Williams plays, but man, just rip off the Band-Aid, dude. You've been here long enough, and the Bears have had no success in your lifetime.
But
none in your lifetime.
They're never going to play in the Super Bowl. The Texans will get to a Super Bowl and win one. The Bears obviously will not.
That's what I mean. Just so you live here now.
So I don't really have – they're not really competition.
You
I
can live here.
Both. I can have both teams.
But you live here, and they've never won. What's the – what – like, oh, I have such pride in the Bears. Like, that's the only reason – if the Patriots hadn't won, I would be out. Completely.
They're still my team.
No, they're not. They haven't done anything for you.
They're a terrible organization run by an old lady.
Yeah, but we've all got people like that that are in our lives that you
they're
love
not
them,
family.
That you love they're, them and that they don't do nothing for you.
Football is not family, despite what Roger Goodell might be trying to push. Just give it up, dude.
God, family, football. That's all that matters.
Yes,
in that order.
There's better football here. You don't have to stay on this. You don't have to stay miserable your whole life. You live here now, you know, doing a daily radio show in Houston, Texas. Do you want to still pay attention and have the passion for this team? Do you need it in your life?
I think I do. I still need it.
What is it about it that you
need? I can't quit it. It's like a drug.
But it's not a good drug.
No, it's not a good... Well, yeah, it's not... Yeah, you know, it's
well,
not.
You know what? To be fair, most drugs, used in moderation, you know, like they get the job done. The trick is moderation. And where are you at with the moderation with the Bears right now?
Well, it's just... My moderation is pretty good. When they are not good... When they are out of the playoff hunt, which they were in the playoff hunt until week 14, 15 last year, I didn't watch the rest of the games.
Joe, the aftermath from this narcotic for you is ranging from Fenty to crack. Crack being the top. Not that I have done either. I don't know a thing about either. All I know is, generally, people do not enjoy their experiences after those two. And... if the Bears had won in your life, I would get it. They made that one Super Bowl.
They did. It was fun.
Lovie Smith.
It's great.
They had that one year where... Didn't they make the NFC Championship game in 02?
Oh.
They made it in the 10s.
Yeah, they made it to 2010.
I can love both equally. Because they're irrelevant to
each
other.
There's no reason to love both equally.
There is.
If the Patriots play the Texans, I will be honest. Like, I don't know how I'll feel about it.
But they matter to each other because typically in the past, for the Texans to try to achieve something, in theory, they would try to go through the Patriots.
Yeah, they generally would have to do that. But
the Bears and the Texans are never going
to
play in the Super Bowl.
Now, since they don't have to, and since I live here and don't see myself leaving anytime soon, now that I'm here, I look at it and I'm like, it doesn't matter the same way to me. If it were Texans-Patriots, I truly do not know how I'd feel. If it was a playoff game, I feel like I would be obligated by oath to pick the Patriots entirely because they went to 9 Super Bowls and they won 6 of them. Actually, they went to 10 Super Bowls and won 6 of them in my lifetime. So, like that's why. But you have nothing holding you back.
I know I have nothing holding you back.
And you're here.
I know. I just can't quit them.
But you should.
I can't.
I think if Caleb Williams doesn't work out,
if we can
put a five-year clock.
All right, this is
Caleb Williams.
This is it. If this doesn't work, I'm out forever and ever and ever and ever.
Because it would be different if they had like what's their actual pick, like the 9th pick, right? If they just didn't have the number one pick in this year's draft, and you're like, oh my god, we might have to draft J.J. McCarthy to be the next quarterback. Actually, you'd probably just keep Fields, honestly, if that was the scenario. Yeah. But I think you don't want to get out now, because now it's like, well, yeah. I don't know. What you're one quarterback away. Maybe we have the quarterback.
How many times have you said this?
How many times have I said that?
Cade McNown.
Probably like 4 times. Rex, Trubisky, Fields, and then Caleb.
You forgot about Cade McNown.
I never said that about
Cutler.
Him. Yeah, but he was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty good. He wasn't like...
Yeah, he was the 14th best quarterback.
I mean, he was never like that. I never thought of him as that guy.
He's your Matt Schaub.
Yeah, exactly. Got it. That's why it's so easy for me to like these teams, because they're all the same.
They are pretty similar.
They're all the same.
As we talk about it.
That's why when people say, like, hey, Joe, like Junior Bronk will not stop bitching about this in the chat. Like, just go away. I don't care. Leave forever. Don't come back. Like, I do not care anymore. But, like, they're all the same. That's why it's so easy for me to root for these teams in Texas, because all you have is the same exact thing. The Cubs, they were terrible. They were terrible on purpose. Yeah, they won a World Series. Now, they didn't keep winning like the Astros. But the Astros were terrible on purpose. Won a World Series.
Good.
The Texans, until CJ Stroud, great defense, never had a quarterback. And then now they're good. So that's a little bit different.
There's so many convenient bandwagons to jump on.
The difference is that the Texas teams, when they become good, stay good. Unlike the Chicago teams.
So join them.
I am.
You live here. You have a child here, a wife here. Your families are here.
My son's going to be a Texans fan.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like you kind of ran out of steam on that one.
I'm going to let him decide. I'm not going to push him.
You're going to let him decide. You're not going to push him. BS. If you're still rooting for the Bears, you're going to be like, this is
no. I'll let him decide.
Let me tell you about the time that Anthony Thomas, the A-Train, ran for 150 yards against the Steelers. Excuse me. Against the Packers in a 28-3 loss. Let me tell you about the times that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers absolutely ruined my franchise and kind of, you know, did dishonorable things to
me. But the clock is official. If Kayla doesn't work, I'll be out.
But you're going to make excuses.
It's Kayla Williams.
You were doing this with Justin Fields last year. You were talking yourself into it.
This is different.
Just quit. No, it's not. This is your intervention, giving you a way out.
How
about 1 year?
No, it's not fair.
What? No, if he's not as good as CJ Stroud,
you will know.
Boom.
If he's not the best rookie quarterback in the history of the NFL?
Yes. Yes.
That's the standard.
Legitimately, that should be the standard. You will know. You will know within a year if he's the guy. You will know. Because he's probably not the guy. That's how it always is. He's probably not the guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll know if he's the guy by the end of the year, for sure.
So you can get out after a year. Eject.
All right, the clock is started. So Cal McNair's
upset. The clock has started. Just get off. They're playing.
I can't.
Why?
I love them.
Is your family going to disown you if you abandon your Chicago heritage? They left too.
No, because we're Texans season ticket
holders.
That's
what I mean. What are you doing? You have even invested in this product. You have an out.
I love them.
They're playing.
I love the Texans.
You don't love them. You don't.
I do.
You don't. You love the Bears.
No.
You don't.
Last year, when I was at home.
You can't get away with polyamory.
The Texans got the big TV when my son wasn't watching Bluey, and I got the Bears on the little TV or on my phone.
Well, why not just take them off the TV altogether?
I just can't quit them.
How much are you paying for Sunday ticket to watch the Bears?
Oh, no, legal streams. Come on. $3.99. Okay. I don't love the Bears that much to pay.
See, if you're paying for Sunday tickets.
Yeah, Sunday tickets too expensive.
I'd almost understand it.
I was really disappointed when I saw those prices. Cal McNair's not happy about the Texans jerseys getting leaked.
Right. And Cal and Hannah did a very good job of fixing this because it seems like it was something they actually had to improv. When the leak came out, that's when they called Nico and Tank and got them to dress up in the uniforms.
Good move.
That was very quick that they put all that together.
Yeah, so they did that in like a day?
Apparently.
I think they did day up.
I figured that this was something that they had waiting.
The photos were ready.
I thought that's how it leaked was that, you know, they had obviously that random, I don't know, Walmart employee that was in the Derek Stingley jersey. But then it was on its way to shoot the promo stuff. They had the promo stuff. They just didn't do it because they're not going to announce it for another month. But no, it's like, because we talked about it during our show. Like, we talked about it at whatever, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
That apparently there's pictures leaked. And by like 4 o'clock,
I think they did it within 3 hours.
I think that whatever happened, like they turned this around very quickly. Wow. That's at least the way that they described it when they were speaking with people at the NFL owners meetings. And to their credit, I mean, that's pretty damn impressive to turn something like that around over the course of half of a day, let's say, after seeing how awful that leaked photo looked.
That's why they had to do it.
Because it was embarrassing looking. Like even if those uniforms are, for the most part, similar. It was an embarrassing look to have that guy. Hannah was even like, his socks weren't even up to code. I love that. She made that little comment there. Because Cal basically was like, yeah, you know, we had to improvise and we did really quickly. And then Hannah's like, I hate that little bastard did that. She didn't say that. Wish she had, though. Wish she had. Like, you could read it. You could read it in her eyes. She was like, she let Cal take the reins for the most part. And then at the end, she's like, a little short. You know what?
By the way, Paul, congratulations on your victory in the Killer Bees Fight Club bracket.
Oh, I won.
You did win.
Whoa.
I don't want you guys to have voted me to commit a hate crime. What the hell?
Oh, but Johnny's next, though.
You guys should have voted for Brandon. Now I've committed a hypothetical hate crime.
My favorite part about this is
I didn't even retweet it. No, I didn't want to be a part of this.
The only person to make it through the Killer Bees Fight Club bracket from the Killer Bees was BMAC.
B-Mac's a big body guy.
Yeah, he did.
Watches some wrestling.
Took down Gordy. So
Gordy's a small fella.
I'm still recovering from my loss to Matt Thomas.
That's a tough loss.
Damn, you lost an old man, dude.
Yeah. I was
old man strength.
That was tough for you. He eats McRibs. That's tough for you.
I didn't know I won. Honestly, I saw the last I saw like Brandon was winning. And I'll be honest, I voted for Brandon. I don't want to have committed a hypothetical hate crime.
No, it was an he was in agreeance. He was tweeting about it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't.
That's not a hate crime if you guys, it was mutual combat.
No, because I didn't agree on this combat.
Well, then you're the one being attacked. I'm being put,
Jeremy is using me for That's my true. Body.
He is. All right, the Jaguars head coach, Doug Peterson, he says the Jags are back to being the hunter. Were they ever really being hunted? And we'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
So Doug Peterson, I was talking to ESPN.com, and he used the words that he said, I guess we're going back to the hunter again in the AFC South. Do you ever feel like the Jags were even being hunted? Because they were good. Yes, the year they went, you know, last year when they, you know, beat the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs. But they weren't the Peyton Manning Colts, or they weren't like the really good Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry Titans.
They clearly thought they were, though, based off of this comment. This is some arrogance from Doug Peterson. I get it. You won a Super Bowl. Congratulations.
But not there.
They kept you around for a very long time after that Super Bowl win, too, huh? Yeah, no one in the AFC was hunting the Jaguars. Maybe they're taking them a little bit more seriously. And really, what the AFC South was, in a post-Urban Meyer world, was the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
So you got no one really hunting each other. You had a bunch of people that are fighting with one another with sticks and stones and no actual weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, the Jaguars were 8-3 and blew it. They finished the season 9-8.
I also think this is... It's a loser quote to be talking this way about chasing the AFC South. Don't you have bigger expectations?
Like, I would think so. I think that we perhaps in Houston look at the AFC South a little bit differently than we should. I think at times we've seen the Texans win 7 division titles since 2011.
Yeah,
we kind of look at this division as a God-given right.
But you won a playoff game, then you started the season 8-3. Your focus still going forward should be getting back to, you know, the playoffs and beyond. And not just winning the division. You should have that franchise, the coaching staff and Trevor Lawrence should have higher expectations for themselves this year than just worrying about like saying they're going to hunt for the AFC South championship. That just seems low bar-ish.
I think that they were trying to make it seem as if now they don't have everyone that has targets on their back. They have targets on everybody else's back. But I really do think it's a very arrogant way to look at yourself when you won a game against Brandon Boob Staley and the Chargers, where Trevor Lawrence threw 4 interceptions in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
No one was looking at the Jaguars after that game and saying, oh, wow. Well, actually, check that. Some people were. These people are dumbasses. The people that thought that Trevor Lawrence rebounding from throwing 4 interceptions in the first half against a team that has choked and choked and choked and choked for years and years and years. Like, that actually meant an effing thing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me angry. The people that bought into that, whatever. I told them what I had to tell them. This idea that the Jaguars, though, were a serious consideration in the AFC because they hung in there with the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round of the 2022 to 2023 playoffs. That is a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Doug Peterson, in a way, is saying, well, okay, now we don't have any pressure on our shoulders anymore. No, you do. You have Trevor Lawrence. And this is what, the last year before the rookie deal turns into a big-time extension? I do think that the conversation about winning with the quarterback on a rookie deal is a tad annoying. But at the same time, you're ever going to win, you got to be now. And, okay, bringing in Darnell Savage from the Packers, that's going to change it. Mitch Moore, center from the Buffalo Bills, who was cut. He's 33 years old. That's going to change it.
Eric Armstead.
Right. Like, they brought
Gabe
in
Davis.
They've brought in guys who they believe have had playoff success and think that these guys are going to make, I guess, Jacksonville a more serious operation.
Yeah, and the follow-up to this would obviously be, you know, are the Texans the hunters or the hunted? If we go down this Doug Peterson path, they're the hunters. Because C.J. Stroud's too good to celebrate winning the AFC South ever again. You got one out of it. You got one.
I like that.
That's it. You got to celebrate your winning the division this year.
That's a Texan season ticket holder talking, not a Bears fan yeah. talking.
Like, it's your expectations. Your quarterback's too good to be focused on hanging banners of winning a four-team division. The expectations for this franchise have changed because you have a quarterback who in his rookie year became a top five quarterback in the NFL. You are hunting the Kansas City Chiefs. You are worried about the Baltimore Ravens. You are worried about the Buffalo Bills and then whoever you potentially play in the Super Bowl. Don't worry. About, like, win the AFC South, that's a low ball.
But it's an afterthought, right. You know, a real man never stops hunting.
That's it's true. Because then you win another Super Bowl.
That's what they say.
And another one.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know
what? And another one.
Ask C.J. Stroud what his favorite AFC South championship is. What he'll say?
The next one.
Yeah.
But then also the things that happen after that.
Yeah,
Not as important. It's not as important. What's your favorite AFC championship game appearances? The first one.
The only one.
The next one.
The only one that will happen.
The next one.
Yeah?
I think with where they're at right now, like they are... You always have to be the hunters. This idea that you all of a sudden stop being that, no. Whenever you take your foot off the gas, that's when teams generally catch you. And that's why what the Chiefs are doing is so incredible. And what the Patriots were doing before was so incredible. You can never really have this sense of, oh, we've achieved something. And that's what I at least got from those Doug Peterson comments, is that they really felt like they had achieved something mm-hmm. in that first season. And, okay, they had the 8-3 start last year, so maybe you could tell yourself, well, no, they just had a late season swoon, and 8-3 is more of a reflection of who the Jaguars are than the way that they finished the year. But honestly, I feel like the Jaguars are a very above-average team. I think that Doug Peterson gets a little arrogant from time to time. I think that's one of the reasons that he and Howie Roseman didn't see eye to eye in Philly, and why he's gone and Roseman's still there.
Yeah, you can relax and have the letdown if you want a championship. Like, that's the only way. And I wish it wasn't like that, but I mean, look how often teams go back to back. So the Chiefs just did it. When's the last time it happened in baseball? The early 2000s. Last time it happened in basketball would have been some LeBron or Curry team.
Yeah, the Warriors.
So, like, there's a reason why it doesn't happen. So, the idea that you're now less complacent because you didn't win the AFC South after the year before winning a playoff game is crazy to me. And I hope the Texans never have that mentality.
Yeah.
Because the expectations, they just need to change. Like, they've annoyed me today very clearly. But, like, the one thing with, like, the Twitch that, like, I give them credit to is that, like, the reason why they get annoyed
don't
with
give
the,
them credit. That's the Texans, terrorist win.
I know. But like the reason why they get annoyed with the Texans conversation is because so many people in this city have such a low bar. Like making the playoffs and winning the AFC South has been this fun story.
But that's true. But the reason the Twitchers are doing this is because these people think that like regular season baseball is good. Like this is their problem.
I know.
This is their burden, and they're just constantly going to try to troll.
I know. But to their point, I think they're right.
They're never right.
There are too many people.
They've never said one thing that's right. They come back, and I love them for it.
There are too many people in this city who have too low of expectations for the Texans franchise. And with C.J. Stroud now as the quarterback, that should change dramatically.
Yeah, people talked about the Texans like they were like a Cinderella final four in the college basketball tournament, or like a like group of five college football team playing against power five teams whenever they would go up or whenever they would make the playoffs. It's like, man, you know, they win the home game and then they have to play like the Patriots or Ravens, and then, you know, they that of course they lose. But
yeah.
I think with CJ Stroud, it's like, no, you actually have a chance to win real stuff, because for the first time in franchise history, you have a legitimate, like, top of the line quarterback. Even in the Deshaun Watson days, like, he wasn't as close to the top of the NFL as of quarterbacks in the NFL as CJ Stroud is. Like, CJ Stroud is closer to the top than Deshaun Watson ever was.
Right.
Like, in the Watson, quarterback hierarchy.
Watson had that one year where people were like, he should be an MVP, and they were 4-12.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah.
That too. Yeah. Is that he was a great quarterback on some crappy teams.
Yeah. And CJ Stroud was a great quarterback on a pretty good team, and hopefully is going to be a better quarterback on a much better team going forward.
But the Deshaun Watson teams that were crappy were expected to be good. This team was expected to be crappy and turned out to be
good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that's why, even though I also have my doubts about the strength of schedule and the opponents they're going to play this year, it's going to be challenging. The expectation for the Texans this year is to win two playoff games. At a bare minimum, I'm always a step-up guy. Like, once you win one, you got to win two. Then you win two, then you win three, and then you win a Super Bowl. Like, it might take 4 years, but those are my expectations. Like, maybe I'm unrealistic because I'm a Bears fan, and I don't know what good teams look like.
You don't hold the Bears to these standards.
That's what the Bears did, right?
They went from the first pick to the ninth pick. Okay? Progress. That is progress, people. I want progress.
Four more years, and they're picking 32nd.
Yeah. Progress is winning one playoff game to winning two playoff games.
See, this is a battered husband right here.
I just want to
celebrate. Not with your actual wife. I mean, your sports wife, the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
This is a battered man who is holding another team to different expectations.
I wish I could hold that team to those expectations. I can hold the Texans to a different expectation because they have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Unlike the other team. All right. That's it. I'm done being bullied for this segment.
No, we're not bullying you. We're helping you out. This is what the person who never changes anything says. I'm being bullied. Okay, addict. You're a Bears fan. Get out of the crack house.
Garbage time. That's next.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. You know, you've had a long day. You realize you root for just an absolute dreg of a football team. You know, you're laughing the pain away sitting next to the person that's talking into the microphone right now. You know what you need? You need a tall, refreshing glass of Pendleton whiskey. You know what I do? One rock, two fingers. Glorious day, because Pendleton whiskey captures the unique spirit of the American West in every single bottle. How's it made? Oh, let me tell you. The finest northern grains. It's cut with Mount Hood glacier water. It's barrel-aged in American oak. And it honors a heritage that inspires us to live boldly and to never lose sight of the values we believe in, unless it's being a Bears fan, and taste the moment wherever we may be. A taste of true Western tradition is always worth raising a glass to. So discover more at PendletonWhiskey.com, at Drizzly.com, or get a bottle of Pendleton Whiskey at your local liquor store. Pendleton Whiskey, it's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Oh, man. I love expectations conversations.
You do?
Sometimes it really upsets people. Today they seem to be not too upset, but
who cares if they're upset?
I know. 7032.
This is the big boy chair, Joe. F these people that are making you feel down.
7032. Texans look at AFC South banners like Celtics. I'm assuming the rest of that is supposed to say championships.
Well, I mean,
they really will. They break. Can they take them down at some point?
They can consolidate them.
You got to win like three Super Bowls, I think, to consolidate them. Now that you've committed, you have to keep them up. You're a wall decor guy.
But now
you're like me. I don't like to have blank spaces in the walls of my home, so I buy stupid stuff over and over again because I like shiny things.
Yeah, but now that Cal is the owner of the Texans, that should be his first act, is we don't celebrate division titles. Sorry, Dad.
Also, they're kind of running out of space.
Well, there's there's the other side of the rafters.
Yeah.
There's plenty of space.
Give CJ 5 more years. Now you're out of space.
No, I'm okay with it until they win 3 Super Bowls, and then you consolidate. And you can turn it into one banner that says, like, AFC South champions. Boom, 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 boom.
That
boom.
I'm
Because the Celtics
okay
have
with.
Stuff like that. There are a couple of Celtics banners that are like that. Yeah, the Rockets do too. You're right. Yeah. Yes.
I just got to get rid of them. You got to find a way. Whether you consolidate them or you win Super Bowls to get rid of them.
I mean, that's what the Astros did. They used to have the division pennants out in left field.
Oh, that's true.
And now it's just World Series appearances. Yeah.
And hopefully when the Texans win their first Super Bowl, you know, they can actually get the cover off of the banner, unlike the Astros in 2000. Was that 17?
You're saying
when?
I think it was 17.
By the way, you're giving yourself another out to jump off the Bears bandwagon and onto the Texans bandwagon because you're saying when the Texans win a Super Bowl.
I'm focused on the Texans right now.
You
not
know the Bears
on the
are never going to do that again.
Probably.
You'll always have 85 when you weren't alive.
And when I was -7. All right, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
-7. Interesting. Speaking of.
Did I do my math wrong? Oh, no, I didn't.
No, I'm. That surprised me. 85. You were -7?
Yeah, I was born in 92.
Oh, God, I gotta blow my brains. I'm so old.
What are you born in, like, 84?
Oh, my God. That hurt even more.
It was 85.
87? 88?
89? 89.
It's all right. Sean was born in, like, 2000.
I was not alive for a Rockets championship.
Well, listen, speaking of the Houston Rockets, we didn't really touch on this yesterday. What are we to make of these claims that are unsubstantiated that Jalen Green is not just having a baby?
Not one.
With Draya Michelle.
Not two.
Allegedly three, because a model and another stripper are also claiming that they are, one, pregnant with Jalen Green to the same time as Draya. This is the stripper. The model claims she had Jalen Green's baby last month. This comes from a Twitter account that doesn't seem to have much that's actually corroborating this report.
Yes.
I got to say, watching Jalen Green warm up, dancing around, he did seem like somebody who is, one, not bothered by the many paternity allegations, in addition to not being bothered by getting robbed of winning Western Conference Player of the Week. The man seems to be living his best life right now, and I feel like we need more proof before we're putting more rumors like this out about Jalen Green. His fingernails, they look sick. And if the Rockets make the play-in tournament, I, in solidarity, am going to get
3 women pregnant.
No. If they make it, paint your fingernails. If they miss it, boom.
That's too much to put on me.
What a wager.
That's too much to put on me.
I mean, one's a stripper, so
no one wants to have sex with me.
I'm good on that path.
Okay, one baby mama, okay?
Unbelievable, you guys.
Just because Jalen only has one confirmed.
You only have one confirmed.
As they're confirmed.
If they make the playoffs, I will paint my fingernails.
If they don't, 3 baby mamas.
The guy with the handlebar mustache in Yellowstone, actor Forey J. Smith, got kicked off an airline yesterday in Houston. Why? Because he refused to sit beside a passenger wearing a mask. Some allege he was drunk in a video that he posted to Instagram after the fact. Based off of his character on Yellowstone, that would not be the most surprising thing in the world. Is this man method acting, or was he truly upset about someone wearing a mask next to him on a plane?
I mean, I get why you're kind of, like, tired of people wearing them.
I'm weirded out by it at this point, but I'm also not going to be like, excuse me, I can't sit next to somebody with a mask. Because I want to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible. Even if there's a fatty boom baddie sitting in the seat right next to me, and my my arm is caught in between their arm and their rolls. Like, even then, I just want to take off, get to my point,
yeah,
and get out.
Yeah, I don't know why you get so upset about this.
So it's like a mask, not like a like Michael Myers mask.
No, a mask. Okay. Mask.
I would get it if it was like a.
They probably wouldn't let you on a plane with
a Wolfman mask, or you know, some sort of a different kind of mask.
And to wrap it up,
guys. President's face like he's in Point Break.
That would be funny. Yeah, it's like the Richard Nixon. Playground bullies earn more than socially awkward children and enjoy high flying careers per research.
Yeah, no wonder you're so good at this show and I'm not.
I mean, I don't know about that. Clearly, do I seem successful to you, Joe? Do I seem successful?
It's not your first radio show. It's my first radio show. Well,
that's what I mean. I've had a lot of radio shows. Yeah. How many of them were my fault?
To be fair, he's way older than you, though.
And he might have three baby mamas.
You know, the Galan and George show, it's been great.
All right, that does it for us. Just a reminder, if the Rockets, make the play-in tournament, Paul paints his fingernails. If they miss it, he's got to get three baby mamas. The Killer Bees with Joel, Jeremy, and Brian are up next year. See you later.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.